Well, good morning. I hope if you missed last week, you will be sure to go online and to hear the testimony that Artie gave. And if you were here for her first message, you will know that she talked in her first time of getting together with all of us about her growing up years, her family. She was one of 12 kids. And that testimony was wonderful as she just shared how the Lord drew each one of them to himself. It was a wonderful testimony. And yet when she finished, I had women say to me, but she never mentioned Bill, you know? Well, she didn't get to Bill. And so last week when she shared, she told the story about her husband, Bill. And it was wonderful. And this is always when I'm so glad that we have these Tuesday mornings recorded. So if you do miss one, you can go online and listen to it. And that is one you'll want to hear. I love our having testimonies. If you're new, this is something we have every 3-4 weeks usually. We went a little longer between times this last time, but it's just great to get to know some of you out there and to know better the Lord and how he has worked in your lives. And so it's always a special time. And give us another few weeks and we'll have another testimony. So you can even be praying right now for that person, you know, because you can be sure she's wanting to be prepared. Well, the name we're going to consider this morning is a name that was given to Jesus before he was even born. And it's found in Isaiah 9, if you'd like to turn there. And it starts in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, that's a very familiar passage to all of us. We hear it much around Christmas time. We sing many of those verses. They're incorporated into our hymns. But this morning, we're going to focus on Wonderful Counselor. And the word wonderful carries the basic meaning of being unique and different. And certainly, that's an accurate description of our Lord Jesus. Because the Hebrew word wonderful is not an adjective but a noun, these actually could be seen as two separate names. In the King James and in the New King James, there's a comma after the name wonderful. But in many other translations, that comma has been removed and it's treated as a compound name, which in many ways is what we'll be doing this morning. Matthew Henry said, justly is he called wonderful, for he is both God and man in his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. He was wonderful. Nothing rivals our wonderful counselor. He is wonderful, and he is counselor. And the thing that I would encourage each one of you would be not to consider him just one of many counselors you can go to, just one of many sources of information you can seek, but he is the counselor. There is no one like him. And we need to go to him first and foremost before we seek others for counsel. And when we come to the Lord, we truly should come to him in humility and in that wonder. You know, just the thought that we can approach him at all. It's amazing, isn't it? David said in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" Talk about wonderful. Hebrews 4:16 exhorts us to what? To come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And I think most of us would readily admit, we have need, daily need. And we need to seek the Lord's counsel daily. It's so easy for us in our times where we may have a big decision or we have a heavy burden to go to the Lord then and to seek him then, as if to say, I've been doing pretty good, but this is really important, Lord, so you have to help me. Yeah. He wants us to turn to him and to seek his face, even as we sang this morning. He wants us to do that, to hear what he would say to us, to receive the perspective that he would give us in our circumstances. For me personally, that's one of the things where the Lord has blessed me so many times, and that is, I've gone to him, and he hasn't changed the circumstances, but he's changed the way I see them. He's changed my perspective, and sometimes that's what we need all the more. I'm sure that is what the Lord did for David when he came against Goliath. If he had just looked at Goliath as a boy, surely he would have turned around and run away. But he saw Goliath as nothing compared to his God. God changed his perspective. And he can change ours. And I'm sure most of you have experienced this. It's an amazing thing when he does. Because literally one minute you can be feeling so overwhelmed, you can be feeling so burdened, and then it's just like there's this little shift, and we see it from another view. That was one of the things Corrie Ten Boom used to pray, and I remember when I first read that, writing it in my journal and incorporating those words into my prayer time with him often, and that was, she would be praying about something and she'd say, help me to see it from heaven's perspective, as it were. And I just loved that, because we see things so much on the horizontal, don't we? And when we look at our problems, they can seem so big. Ask God to help you to see things from the heavenly perspective, as it were. I love that. We need to go to the Lord daily and ask for his counsel. And one of the best things about this is that there's no wait time. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to make an appointment and think, oh, 10 days? Oh, 3 weeks? You know, he's available now. Immediately. That's why I love that passage in Hebrews, to come boldly into the throne of grace. That's what we can do. We can be visiting one moment in your prayer groups, then you go to pray and boom, you are coming boldly into his presence and you're praying, and he makes it that simple. How I thank him for that. That he is a wonderful counselor, that we can approach him any time, day or night. In Psalm 16, verse 7, it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Have you ever experienced that? You know, maybe you've been seeking the Lord on some issue, and it just feels like the answer isn't coming. And then you're on your bed. You might be even in that place of kind of drifting off to sleep. Or maybe it's when you wake up in the middle of the night. But suddenly, you know the Lord has spoken to you. The Lord has answered you. He has given you that counsel that you were so wanting to hear. And how wonderful it is. And what I love about that is when that happens, when you least expect it, you know that you know it wasn't from you. You know, sometimes when you're alert, wide awake, and you're seeking the Lord, and you're praying, and all of a sudden a thought comes, you might think, oh, that's a good idea. And you might even think it came from up here. But not so when it comes to you on your bed at night. To me, it just quietly comes in and it's suddenly there. And you know, that wasn't you. That was the Lord, and I love that. Jesus wants to be our wonderful counselor. And we all need that counsel. It'd be so good if when we come to the Lord, we would just come with a blank slate, you know, and that we would just let Him do the writing. But it's a fight to do that, isn't it? Isn't it so much easier to come to Him and we've already gone through several things, different scenarios. We've kind of come up with our list of possible things that would work, good ideas for the Lord to consider. And we come to Him and we present this whole, I always call it a script. Do we need to do that when we come to the Lord? Not only do we not need to do it, but it would be so great if, even if we do have our ideas, even if we do have thoughts that would just be perfect solutions to what we're praying about, if we just kind of lay them down, put them aside, and ask the Lord what He would want and how He would work. See, our problem is that our ideas can be so strong to us, but they can also be so wrong for us. Sadly, we love to dictate to Him, you know? We want to tell Him what we want, when we want it, and all our ideas about how we think we can get it, how He could make it work. But have those times in our lives always brought about the happy results we were so sure would follow? How much wiser if we can come to Him laying aside the plans we think would be perfect and wait, let Him give us His counsel. Psalm 32:8 is one of my favorite verses, and if you've come to my studies, you know I quote it often. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The King James Version says, I will guide you with mine eye. And I've always loved that. And I've actually written that right below my NIV version because I just love that personal picture of the Lord guiding me with His eye. His eye is upon me, and He's showing me whether to go to the left or whether to go to the right. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and again, this is another favorite verse that we've probably even all memorized. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If we would only come before him, that simply, with no agenda of our own, but just wanting him to show us his will, his plans for our lives. Isaiah 48:17 says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." We can look at someone else's life and think, well, that was a good plan. I like the way that kind of evolved for her. I think that's what I'd like to now put into practice in my life. But God's plan for your friend may not be his plan for you. Will you accept that? Will you rest in it? Will you trust his counsel to you? And that doesn't mean that your plan is going to be second best, or your plan is going to have to follow this hard, difficult road to get there. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means he knows the plans he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11, another verse that probably most of us also love and have highlighted and memorized because it's such a wonderful scripture. You know, whether it's for marital counseling, career counseling, family counseling, you know, whatever the need might be, how we need to go to Jesus first, to go to him, our wonderful counselor, and then take him at his word. I think we so often are drawn to being able, we think, to be part of the solution process, part of the healing process. I've talked to many women over the year, and maybe I recognize it when they say it only because there were so many years that I myself had this thinking. And that is, you've gone through a lot of things, and you realize, hey, this isn't what the Lord has for me. And so you want to get to that healing, but your thought is that what it's going to take is talking it out. As I say, literally for years, that was a belief I hung on to, that as you talk out your troubles, your injuries, your hurts, your past, whatever, that as you talk it out, then healing comes. Yes, sometimes when we're talking something out, the Lord helps us even to hear ourselves and think, well, that's not a right perspective, you know? And so that's where talking it out can be good. But do we need to talk something out for weeks, for months, for years? And I know people who have gone to counseling for years. Does God need that before he can bring the healing to our hearts and minds? Absolutely not. He can bring the healing with a word. His word, not ours. And so how we need to go to him, to seek him, and then to take him at his word. Unfortunately, it's so easy, probably easier now than it would have been 50 years ago, but it's so easy to turn to the world for counsel. You know, and let me just have a little disclaimer right as I address this, because So often, even though I say this, I hear back, well, I know you think about this, about that. And I'm thinking, no. So know that I am not saying that it's wrong to go get counseling, professional counseling, you know, counseling from a person who has initials behind their name. I am not saying that. I wish you could know how many times I've had women in my office talking and then saying, and I got counseling, and oh, and I know you don't think we should get counseling. And I'll go, why? Why would you say that? That isn't what I think. What I think is, first of all, go to the wonderful counselor first. And so that is invariably what I will ask is, so did you go to the Lord about this? And so often they want to incorporate the Lord with that professional counseling, and that can happen, but go to him first. So no, please get that message. I'm not saying that going to a counselor that counsels as their livelihood is something you should run from. That is not what I'm saying. And yet I will say that it is possible that in some of those cases, you sadly learn that their greatest interest in you is in the payment they receive from you at the end of that session. And that's why I think sometimes counseling goes on for months, and as I say, even years. If you go to a counselor and you've been going for years to that counselor, you might ask the Lord about that. Say, so Lord, is this what you have for me? And he might say, come to the wonderful counselor. He is wonderful, and he will give us the counsel that we need. Now, when you find counselors who are motivated by their love for God to help others and rightly use the Word of God to give you the counsel that you need, now that's a win-win. And so when you need to go to a professional counselor, first, seek the Lord, the wonderful counselor. Ask him to direct you. Ask him to lead you to that person who can give you help, who can perhaps help you unwrap some of those packages in your life that have been so tangled and so difficult. And those, as I say, those counselors can be a huge blessing. Now, I have to say, of course, I love the pastoral counseling that Athey Creek provides. It's truly a blessing because each person at Athey who's in that place of being a counselor, of being a person who comes alongside others, each one of them, the Lord has given them a heart to really care about people, to want to come alongside troubled people, and to be able to be there just to offer them help. There's not one of us who would think that that we're going to be that person's solution. But what we do count on is that the Lord, through his word, will help us to know how to come alongside, and the counsel we give will be based on his word. Are we trained counselors? No. But we do count on God's faithfulness and his love for each person who comes to show us what is needful, how to best come alongside, how to best comfort. You know, there are no formulas. It's not like, oh, this is a marital problem. Yep, I've got those scriptures all in place, ready to go. You know, oh, this is a problem with a wayward child. You know, this is the counsel we give for that. I'm so glad it's not like that. And there have been times when I have sat in a counseling appointment and the person has shared and it's like I've been blank in terms of feeling that the Lord is giving me something to share. But I'm so glad he's made me comfortable with just sitting and listening. And then sometimes it'll be toward the very end that he brings a scripture to mind. And we'll turn to that scripture and I'll share it. And I just have this strong sense, this is what the Lord had for that person. And yes, maybe she needed to get out some words, to shed some tears. And then he addressed it. He gave the word to sustain the weary. I love that about him. You know, there have also been those times when a person has come into my office and starts to share, and she will have so many problems, big problems, so many issues that the thing I feel as I'm listening is that if I were to just come out and say something, it would be like, you know, trying to place a band-aid on a gushing wound. And it's so interesting because, I mean, God knows that's the last thing I would ever want to do, but I know that he knows. And so invariably, he brings an illustration from the Old Testament to my mind. And I do think one reason this is one of my favorite, if there is a go-to, illustration that he uses in my life, it's an illustration from something that I myself, when I have been overwhelmed with so many things, that the Lord has given it to me. And you can write this down just for your own reference if you want to look it up afterwards, but you don't need to turn there now. It's found in 2 Kings 18 and 19. And it's that story of Hezekiah. We've gone through it recently. Remember when Sennacherib, and I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it the way Pastor Brett does. But it's when his field commander came to Hezekiah with all these threats. And I'm sure you remember the story. Hezekiah felt totally overwhelmed. Do you remember what he did? Again, it's found in 2 Kings 19:1. It says, when King Hezekiah heard this, the threats, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he went into the temple of the Lord. He went to the Lord for counsel. You know, if you are on the receiving end of those threats, I would think the most natural go-to would be, oh, I've got to get the troops going. You know, I mean, that we've got to act on this and we've got to act right now. He didn't have that knee-jerk response, did he? He went to the temple of the Lord and he sought God's counsel. He then sought further counsel by sending the leading priest to Isaiah, the prophet. And what was Isaiah's counsel from God? Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Sennacherib then sent him another threatening letter. And this is the part that I love. Do you remember what he did with that letter? Again, he went to the temple. But he took that letter, and it says, and he spread out the letter before the Lord and prayed. That's the picture the Lord has given to me personally multiple times. And whenever there's a woman who just is dealing with so many issues, and some people are really heavily burdened, to have that in your mind of just going to the Lord and just laying it all out before the Lord. For me personally, it's an incredible visual. And it is so comforting. And that is what we need to do. We have times in our lives where we experience desperate circumstances, don't we? And we need to go to the Lord, and we can go to Him, whether those problems are bills or broken relationships, you know? Loss of work, loss of health, prodigal loved ones, or unsaved mates, whatever the need. We need to go to the Lord and spread those cares out before Him. Then in that time, you trust that He sees. You trust that He cares. Psalm 1, and Amy mentioned it this morning, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So when you're in that place of needing to turn to counselors, all I'm saying is first, go to the wonderful counselor and ask him to help you in finding that counselor here that you would see. Even as God spoke to Hezekiah through Isaiah, telling him to not be afraid, God speaks to us through his word, doesn't he? When we're fearful, what is your favorite go-tos in the Bible? Mine is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I just love that. This is one of those verses that most of us know. We might even have it highlighted in our Bibles. The thing is this, it's a familiar verse. But the question is, do we appropriate it? There are many wonderful verses in the Bible, and we can say we love them. But do we read them and then go away the same way we came? Or do we read them and appropriate them to the very thing we're dealing with then and there? To have God's word, to be able to read it, and to not appropriate it is like walking in a dark, dark night with a flashlight in your hand and not turning it on. You know, it makes no sense at all. The Lord says that his word will be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And that's the way he wants us to treat it. James 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that is, you're needing God's counsel, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but when he asks, He must believe and not doubt. You know, must appropriate that counsel. That's my little parenthetical thought. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So when you're anxious, act on that verse from Philippians 4. And when you're needing wisdom, turn to James 1. And then follow that counsel. That is counsel from the Lord. Counsel from our wonderful counselor. I think always, and this is always, we need to ask ourselves if we automatically turn and run to the Lord when we're in distress. You know, it's so easy in these days to call out on Facebook, you know, to Google your questions, we have so many sources of instant information, texting a friend, trusting that she's going to get right back to you. It's not that those things are bad, but is that what your go-to is? Or do you go to the Lord first? You know? It's so easy to go to a friend, especially a really close friend, when you're desperate, because you know this person will, you know, talk you off the edge of the cliff. You know? Go to the Lord. He may well then have you follow through with praying with a friend, and that's wonderful too. But first, go to the Lord. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, and this is the Amplified Version. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted. And again, this is the Amplified, so it says, knowing exactly how it feels to be human, in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us, with that privilege, approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming at just the right moment. There are times that I love to read in the Amplified because it just enlarges it enough that it takes it out of the familiar and just again gives you additional insights into God's Word. Last week, I was talking about this subject with a gal I met with, and she said, go to the throne, not to the phone. And I immediately said to her, I like that. And I said, that's going to find its way into a teaching. So here it is, just a week later. And of course, there will be those times when God will use believing friends to counsel us, to help us. It always blesses me when someone calls me up and says to me that they would really love me to meet with their friend, and then they'll tell me all of the circumstances of that person, and I'll ask, so what have you counseled? What have you said? And it is so wonderful when they share the things they've said, and I can say, those were exactly the right things to say. And so often the person will go, oh good, I was so afraid what I was saying. And yet it will have been perfect. And it will be because that person relied on the counsel of God, gave counsel where that counsel, where the word was foundational in the counsel she gave. So know that the Lord will equip each one of us as we know his word to come alongside those friends, to give that godly counsel. And that is always just a wonderful blessing. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." Whose wisdom? God's wisdom. When the word of Christ dwells in us, we can count on the Lord to bring it to mind when we need it. And there's no time we need it more than when we're coming alongside others. Has a friend ever given you a word that you needed, but you didn't want to hear? I remember when I was first a single mom, and I was battling with this fear about my kids, and the enemy was just using it to taunt me. It's like it was this relentless picture that he would bring to my mind, a situation that was totally, it would be completely out of my hands. And as I say, the enemy was taunting me with it. So I went to one of the elders at my church, and he also happened to be a friend. And I remember telling him, you know, I went to him for prayer, but telling him about this horrible threat that I was feeling regarding my kids. And I told him all the details of just how awful it was. I guess I had somewhere in my mind a thought of how he would respond to me. You know, he'd probably tell me, "Judy, you have to take your thoughts captive. You know, if you don't take your thoughts captive, they will captivate you. You know what, who God is, and take those thoughts captive and trust the Lord." You know, I thought, you know, maybe it'd be a little something like that. Or maybe he would say, "Judy, that is right from the pit. That is the enemy taunting you." You know, and it's funny how when we go for counsel like that, we may or may not even be aware that we've had any thoughts of what would be said, but the reason I knew it must have been like one of those was because his answer was not one I had thought and not one I wanted to hear. When I gave him that whole picture and he's just listening to me intently and I'm crying and he says to me, "Yes, that could happen." And I'm thinking, what? You know, what way is that to counsel a person? How is that supposed to make me feel better? But he just looked at me and he said, "But if it does, God will still be in control. God is sovereign." And I had to just let that sink in. Those were words I did not want to hear, but there were words I needed to hear. And I will say this, that experience prepared me so much for coming alongside other people, because it was a lesson of, you're not there to just make them feel better. See, that's kind of my flesh. I remember when I read in Acts about Barnabas, the first time I remember reading it, and seeing that his name meant, you know, son of encouragement. Literally, I remember stopping and thinking, oh, what a wonderful thing to be known by. son of encouragement. Oh, and I even prayed, Lord, I would love to be an encourager for people. And that is where I am. That is what I love to do, is to encourage people. But you know what? God's counsel isn't always encouraging at the moment. But what my friend, that elder, said to me, I needed to hear. And so there have been those times when there was a part of me, yes, that just wanted to come alongside a person and share a verse that would just be so sweet and loving and supportive and comforting. When the Lord has shown me something else and said, this is what they would love to hear, but this is what they need to hear. And so I have had to speak that word. And invariably my heart goes out because I see in that face what must have been my expression when Tom shared with me. And it's kind of like, I came to you to hear that. But again, we come back to God is in control. God is sovereign no matter what is taking place in our lives. And more importantly, God is good. So his motive toward us is always love. It's always good. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good and what you do is good. Psalm 73:21 said, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. How we need to learn to let God be God. You know, to lay down our schemes and our scripts and to trust his plans, to trust his counsel for our lives. Spurgeon said, God the Father never gave his Son a name which he did not deserve. Christ is called Wonderful because he is so. All week long, I've been singing, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is your name. That has just been singing and singing and singing. And that's how I knew that's what the Lord wanted me to share on. He came and he walked this earth as a man. He knows our infirmities and he cares. He's our friend and he's our counselor and he wants us to know him that way. But it's only when we go to him. It's only when we will determine to apply his counsel, his word to our lives, that we will then know him as our wonderful counselor. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much. You are a wonderful counselor. And it is my prayer that we would run to you first and foremost, allowing you, Lord, to speak to us, to direct us in your word, to give us those words that sustain the weary, to give us those words to apply to our pain. Lord, you know each woman here, and you know today the ones who need to turn to you and perhaps are actively doing so even now. Lord, remind them, if if your answer seems to be long in coming, that they can trust you to give them that answer. And maybe it will be during the knife watches. But you will be faithful and you will answer. So have your way in our lives, Lord. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.